we are the recipients here in the United States. We are the recipients of great sacrifice that has occurred for hundreds of years. Sacrifice by those who have given their lives that we would have freedom, that have given their lives that we would have a constitution and a bill of rights. And then through the years, those who would stand up for that, not only affecting us, but affecting other nations as well. There have been many lives that have been given, many sacrifices made, many families that have been affected. And so this morning, I want to take just an opportunity for us to just spend a moment in relative silence and be able to recognize and remember the sacrifices that have been made in the past, to honor those who have given their lives, and to honor those families who have sacrificed by their sons and daughters and mothers and fathers, sacrificing their lives. Let's spend just a moment in silence. Great and mighty God, we thank you for the nation in which we live, a nation founded on principles of freedom. Father, we thank you for those who have made sacrifices, great and small, in their lives, and especially those who have ultimately given their lives to uphold this freedom. God, we pray for comfort and strength for families. Father, we pray that our minds would always be aware of the truth that freedom is not free, that there is a price that is paid for it, and that as the many times the recipients of that freedom, we are so blessed. God, we give you thanks today. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The truth is, in our lives, that idea of freedom not being free and that there is a price for it, as believers in Jesus Christ, that truth remains for us as well. That the freedom that we have in Christ is not a freedom that was free. There was a price that was paid. There was a sacrifice that was made. Sacrifice of a life. Turn to John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 31. John 8, 31. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Notice in verse 31 and 32. Verse 32, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Many times that verse is missing a couple of the words when people will quote it. And they'll say, know the truth and the truth will set you free. And then that know the truth is kind of linked to whatever truth they want you to know. But the words are very specific in here. In verse 32, it says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Look at verse 31. The first thing that Jesus says is, if you hold to my teaching. So verse 31 and 32 work together as an if-then statement. So if one thing is the case, then this is the result, right? We know what if-then situations are, right? Girls, I'm not going to say that. Sometimes one random person, not me, might say to their children, if you clean your room, then you will receive ice cream, right? I don't want to make any kind of promises I'm not willing to keep today. Right? This kind of thing. If this, then this. Jesus says, if you keep to my teachings, okay? If you keep to my teachings, you are really my disciples. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what is that truth that he talks about in verse 32? It's his teaching from verse 31. So if you hold to Jesus' teaching, then you'll have the truth, and that truth will set you free. There's freedom in the teaching of Jesus Christ. There's freedom and wholeness in who Jesus is and what he offered for us. There's freedom for us in all aspects and areas of our lives. And so as we hold to the teaching of Jesus, then we will know the truth, and that truth will set us free. It'll set us free from bondage to sin. Here it talks about, you know, they said, well, wait a minute, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been a slave to anyone, which is interesting because they were slaves to some, but they're trying, oh, we've never been slave to anyone. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. So in the midst of this teaching about freedom that Jesus offers, he tells us, if you sin, you're a slave to sin. Sin holds bondage over us when we're involved in it. Sin keeps us in and holds us tight. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, somewhere in there it talks about, let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles, is what the NIV says. Throw off sin that so easily entangles. We become a slave to sin when we live in that sin. When we harbor that sin in our hearts rather than finding the freedom and wholeness that there is in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that's available through him. As we harbor that sin in our hearts and in our lives, as we continue to live in it, we become slaves to that sin. But that does not have to be the case in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. If the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Is that what the word says? So we have the ability to not be slave, not be held bond to that sin any longer. That sin that easily entangles us, we can throw it off by Jesus Christ. Because if he sets us free, we are free indeed. That is a blessing. That is a blessing. That is a joy to be able to know and recognize the freedom from sin that's available in Jesus Christ. We don't have to harbor that in our hearts or in our lives any longer. We don't have to feel as if we're slave to it and can't stop or can't remove ourselves from the shame maybe that has gone along with it. We have freedom in Jesus Christ. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 1 and then verses 13 and 14. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And then verses 13 and 14. "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. So here it says, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Now, he's talking about a couple of different things here. One is that yoke of slavery to sin. Don't be burdened by it. That's why in verse 13, he says, you're called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Don't continue in sin just because there's freedom and grace offered from God through Jesus Christ. Don't continue in that sin. But also, it seems as if there's also an aspect of almost religiousness. Don't be a slave to religiousness any longer either. Because in those verses, verse 2 through 12, he talks about circumcision, he talks about the law, he talks about those who were the religious ones at the time, who were thought to be, well, these are the good guys because they're following all the rules and they're doing all the things right. He says, there's freedom from that. We don't have to be caught up in these things that are just religious or churchy. You know, I use that phrase, churchy. We don't have to be caught up in them just for the very sake of doing them, because they're a list of things that we think make us good people. There's freedom in Christ to be able to follow Christ in all things, not just because it's the churchy thing to do, but because our heart longs for it and desires it. Because we're changed, because we're renewed, because we're made free in Jesus Christ. And so we don't have to do church. We're free from that. We're free from religious requirements in Jesus Christ. We've been set free. And so we can sing and we can dance and we can eat or we can not eat. We have freedom to be able to live and not follow a long line of things that we feel we have to do or things that we can't do. We're free from those things. Now, Paul goes into then verse 13. He says, you were called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. So simply because we are free from maybe religious requirements of the law or religiousness, simply because we are free from those things doesn't mean that gives us a license to just go out and do whatever we want. Remember, knowing the teachings of Christ, if we follow that which Christ taught us, then we will be free. Then that freedom comes. We'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And so there's still an importance of our hearts being connected to God through Jesus Christ and moving forward appropriately and rightly. Amen? Everybody with me? Awesome. Awesome. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. This idea of freedom coming through God's Messiah, or God's anointed one, isn't something that's like brand spanking new idea in the New Testament. We see it revealed. We see it revealed through Jesus Christ. But God told us about that in the Old Testament. Go back to Isaiah chapter 42. There's actually a couple of times in Isaiah where he talks about specifically freedom being available through God's Messiah, his servant, his anointed one. So Isaiah 42 is one of those places. In Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 7. God is speaking here, and he says, here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. So God is saying these things, and he's talking about his servant. He's talking about his chosen one. This is a portion of scripture about the Messiah, about the Christ, about the anointed one of God, or the chosen one of God. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God, the Lord, says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. So this is what the Lord says. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the judge from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. So God says, I have a servant, and he is going to bring justice and freedom and sight. I have an anointed one, and he is going to bring wholeness, and he's going to bring freedom for all of these things. Now, it talks here about free captives from prison, release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Now this may be in part specifically of those who are in prison, who are in dungeons. But more than that, it's about those who are imprisoned, those who are enslaved, those who are chained by the bondage of the world, by the bondage of sin, by the bondage of regret and discouragement and bondage to depression and bondage to senses of not having self-worth. God's Messiah, who we know as Jesus Christ, gives us freedom and proclaims freedom for us from bondage to all that stuff. He proclaims freedom for bondage from all of that stuff. In Isaiah chapter 61, he talks about this as well. And it talks about he will proclaim freedom for the captives. That same idea and some of those same thoughts and same ideas come out in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, as come out here in Isaiah 42, 1 through 7. That God's Messiah is going to bring freedom. It's going to bring wholeness. And so we don't have to be chained any longer to the stuff that too often chains us, to the stuff that too often holds us captive. Do you know what stuff I'm talking about? I mean, I listed a few things earlier. We're sometimes captive to sin, and we're sometimes captive to discouragement. We're sometimes captive to feeling like we can't do anything right. You know, don't you sometimes feel captive to some of those things? Feel as if we're in a dungeon, as if we're locked away in these things? Christ gives us freedom from those things. He gives us freedom. He gives us freedom from sin. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's freedom in Christ from these things. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, the Word promises. There's freedom from condemnation. There's freedom from the bondage and the chains that sometimes hold us, that many times hold us. There's freedom from those things. Amen? That's a great freedom. That is a great freedom. We don't recognize that freedom near enough until we experience that freedom. We don't recognize how precious that freedom is until we've experienced it, and until we've been in bondage and been released from it by the wholeness that's available in Jesus Christ. We don't recognize it near enough until we're set free from it. Consider some of your own bondage. Consider some of your own slavery, whether it be to a sin, whether it be to just a sense of worth that is not high compared to that which God promises. Consider maybe what that bondage is and be assured Jesus Christ has made a way that you are able to be released from that bondage. You are able to have freedom. You're able to experience freedom from that stuff that we deal with because of Jesus Christ. But the truth is that freedom, where it's free to us, has a great cost to it, or had a great cost to it. Turn to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 5. New Testament book of Romans, chapter 5. Starting right in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Notice how it talks about faith, how it talks about grace, how it talks about these things that indicate for us it's free. It's a matter of faith. It's not by works. It's not by paying a bunch of money. It's free to us. But here in verse 6, we see the cost that was made. We see that our freedom had a price to it. I'll read verse 6 again. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That sacrifice was made that we could have this freedom. That sacrifice was made that we can be free from sin and free from condemnation, that we can be free from all that entangles us and discouragement, that we can be free from those things. But there was a price, and that price was that Jesus Christ died. That's the way we have that freedom. That freedom was not free. Verse 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We now have that right relationship with God, that whole relationship with God. You see, we've been given great freedom in Jesus Christ. It's a freedom that the world does not always understand. It's a freedom that we only know as we experience it. We can learn about it from the Word, but we only recognize the greatness of that freedom as we experience it. But that freedom, at that freedom there was a price. And that price was the death of Jesus Christ. God offered his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, to die on the cross for us. That was a great sacrifice. That was a great sacrifice. That's the love that God has for us. He would offer his Son to give us that freedom and to make a way in which we can be free and whole and be free and complete in our lives. Look over at Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, here Paul talks about the fact that freedom that we have through Christ comes from grace. It's a free gift that comes from God. But we have the responsibility to live out that freedom as slaves now, not to sin, but slaves to righteousness, slaves to God. He uses that terminology, going from slaves to sin and the world and the adversary to slaves of righteousness and to slaves of God. But that's a whole different bondage. That is a whole different bondage, being slave to sin and slave to God. That is a totally different thing. A slave to sin is one who is beaten down and broken and not good. And being a slave to God is one who is a son, one who is a child of God, one who is in a position where they are brought all of the freedom and all of the wholeness that is available to a son of the creator of the heavens and the earth, of God. And so that's not really slavery at all, is it? That's not a bondage at all, not like the sin that we had been bound to before we came to know Jesus Christ. It's a slavery of freedom, because it truly is free. It truly is freeing from all that we had been bound to before. We are free from in Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 14, it talks about us being willing. Write these down if you're keeping notes. Write down these last verses. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. It talks about the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, being willing to give our hearts and our lives for Him, being willing to give up everything in our lives for being able to follow Him. And being in a position where we follow that freedom and follow after Him who offers us that freedom, to Him who had died on the cross, that we would truly be free. That stuff that we are bound to in our lives, and sometimes it's that very thing, stuff. Sometimes we're bound to stuff, bound to things. You ever have to wash your car? We're a slave to our car. I mean, maybe you don't have to wash. You don't have to wash it. I mean, that's the truth. You don't have to wash it. My van is proof of that. You don't have to wash it. Sure looks a lot nicer when you do, though, doesn't it? You see, sometimes we're a slave to stuff. We're a slave to the upkeep of the things that we have. Sometimes we're a slave to stuff and the finances and resources that it takes to keep up the stuff or keep getting stuff. See, we can be slave to that too. We can be slave to emotional things. We can be slave to physical things. We can be slave to sin. We can be slave to a lot of things. But the truth is, we have the possibility in Jesus Christ to be a slave to none of that, to be free and to be whole. And that freedom came at a price. And the price was the death of Jesus Christ. The price was the sacrifice that He had made, the sacrifice that God, His Father, had made in offering Him to die on the cross. That came as a price. And for us to recognize that and to realize that, to realize not only the freedom that's available and take claim of that, take a hold of that truth, that freedom that there is in Jesus Christ, but to recognize that freedom comes to you, free to you, but with great price to God and great price to His Son, Jesus Christ. To recognize that and be aware of that and give thanks to God for that truth. Give thanks to God for that freedom, and thanks to God for that sacrifice that He made by offering His Son, that indeed we could be free. That we could be free from bondage to slavery of sin, to slavery of our emotions, to slavery of stuff. We can be free from that in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Great and mighty God, we are so thankful to You for the freedom that we have through Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we recognize that where that freedom is given to us in grace, thank You, God, for that. We also recognize the sacrifice that You made in offering Your Son. Father, help us to be mindful of that and to see that sacrifice that You have made, that Your Son Jesus has made, to be in a position where we then are willing to sacrifice for You as well, to love You and draw closer to You, to love others and to display that love in all that we do. Father, we thank You for the freedom that we have. Help us to recognize that freedom and to live in that freedom, to be able to turn all those things over to you, knowing that there is freedom in Jesus Christ. God, help us to put your word on our hearts, that we would know the truth of your word, that we would know the truth of your teaching and of the teaching of your Son, Jesus Christ, which is the same teaching, because he had the same goals and the same purpose as you. Father, help us to be able to put that into our hearts, to be able to say it and speak it and live it. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.